John 15. This was one of those mornings that I was unsure of which message to bring which at which time. Preaching, teaching, it's difficult to know the difference. We're always teaching, always declaring the Word of God. But we're going to look at this because I believe John 15. I believe the Lord was either seated or at least walking in the garden, teaching his disciples. This is to his disciples. And I look around and close to everybody in here professes to be so. Remember, who is speaking? The Lord is speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to his disciples. To whom? He's speaking to his disciples. Everything he's saying to his chosen, called, born again, believing, following, loving disciples. They love him. They're all ashamed of their love to him. Peter will be very ashamed just very shortly. But he did love him, didn't he? Why? It's exactly right. Because the Lord loved them. I can say I love him, can't you? You don't say it very often because you're ashamed of it. But you can say it when the Lord asks you. He's speaking to his disciples, and the subject he's speaking of is love. His love, Father's love, and their love to him and one another. That's the subject, okay? Let's look at it. Verse 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That's hard to believe, isn't it? You know how much God loves his son? He's lovely. He's worth loving him. He's worthy. He's altogether lovely. How could he love me? How? But he does. He said, in the same way, to the same extent, to the same affection, in the same duration before the world began. It'll never end. I love this thought. There's nothing I can do. God's people, there's nothing they can do to make God stop loving them. That prodigal son came home and the father ran. He couldn't get to him fast enough. That is astounding. Astounding. So he said, continue in my love. I venture to say that what I just said to you was worth driving here for today. His love. Keep remembrance. Keep yourselves under the love, under the gospel. Or else you'll be full of misery. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Of these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now our Lord said this several times. Look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come unto him, make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. Now the subject is love. And love that keeps the Lord's commandments. And our Lord said, this is proof. This is proof. I hope you'll read the article by Spurgeon. It's outstanding. When I put that in there and was reading this, I was grieved thinking about some that might, maybe not in here, but other places that might not like that article. It's grieved me thinking about that. Our Lord said this five or six times. It's like Lord said. How could I explain away or try to interpret? It's what he said. It's what he said. He said in verse 10, he said, I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, didn't it? He proved his love to the Father, didn't it? The Lord was well pleased for his righteousness' sake. God, who never spoke out loud because his Son was so loving and so obedient to him. God, may I say this, just gushing with love to his Son, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the second Adam, our covenant head. You know, that's a doctrinal term. It's an it's a Bible term. Covenant head, second Adam. Does everyone understand? Does everyone understand that God deals with all human beings in two people, Adam or Christ? Do you understand that? In Adam, all die. Nobody in Adam, no son of Adam can please God. They're all together. None good, no, not one. And one single son of Adam by name. Not one. Do you understand that? In Christ, all made alive. In Christ, God loves them. God's pleased with them. God accepts them. They're God's sons. Every one of them. Do you understand that? And it's nothing that any of those sons did. It's what the Son did. You understand that? This is the nature, the essence, the sum and substance of the gospel, the good news. If you know you're a sinner, you just want to say, right, yay, yay, and amen. All the promises of God, where are they? In Christ, because of what he did. God said to the Son, the covenant, you go do this for them, I'll accept them. I'll receive them all on your behalf, for your sake. Christ said, I will. Did he? He did. And so God does. And Christ said, I will no wise cast him in. Because of what Christ did. God is well pleased. And so, Christ, he kept the Father's commandments, his law. Our Lord lived under the law. Don't ever say anything bad about God's law. But Christ lived by the law. He put himself, he bound himself under God's law. There's nothing wrong with God's law. What's wrong is us. Okay? The law is a reflection of who God is, his character, his ways. Paul wrote a great deal about that in the Romans. It's not the law, but the weakness of the flesh, the sinfulness of the flesh. David said this, Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. What law is he talking about? What law is David talking about? All of it. Not just the Ten Commandments, all of it, isn't it? He said, I meditate in it. It's my meditation day and night. He meant that. He meant that. Do you love God's Word? All of it? Do you read it? Are they words of life? Do you? You read it not to have life. You know why you read it and love it? Because you do have life. David said that. David meant it. But David said that in prophecy. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that. Unlike anybody ever said it, our Lord said, oh, how I love thy law. So he came. It's just my meditation day and night. He had to, John. Like Joshua. The Lord told Joshua, you're going to keep the law for these people. You're going to lead them in the promised land, Joshua. You've got to know the law. They don't. They can't keep. Joshua, you're going to lead God's people in the promised land. Joshua's name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord put himself under the law. He was bound by it in an oath, in a covenant, and sealed it with his blood. Can I say that one more time? His oath, his covenant, his blood. And that ought to support you in the overwhelming flood. When all around your soul gives way, he then is all your hope and all your stay. On Christ the solid. All of salvation was built on this oath, this covenant, and sealed in Christ's blood. Ordered and sure. Our Lord put himself under the law, bound by it. Why? In love to the Father. Oh, I love that law. In love to his people who are under the curse of it. Condemned by it. Under the bondage of it. That's the next message. Under a burden because of it. Our Lord in love. He did this in love. He wasn't legal. Our Lord didn't keep the law legally. Nobody can. Nobody does. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Our Lord said that. Love to God. Love to my neighbor. So he kept the law. He fulfilled the law. He delivered his people from the law, and he did it all in love. And so he says to us, if you love me. What's wrong with that? Keep my commandments. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not take us back to Sinai. Aren't you glad? Oh, no. He climbed Sinai himself. He went right up into the presence of God. Said, I've kept your law perfectly. God said, I'm well pleased. Our Lord is our substitute, our covenant head. But he says to us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Plural. Right? Spurgeon wisely said, who reading the scriptures can possibly come up with that Christ never gave his people anything to do? It's not. Is he telling these disciples, do this and you'll be my disciples? Do this, you'll be my children. Oh no, they already are. Do this out of love to the Father, out of love to the Son, out of love to one another. Okay? What's he telling them to do? It's all good. You're going to read with me in a moment. Don't hang your head. I don't want to look up you're hanging your head, okay? I want you to listen to me. There are two men in every child of God. You understand me? I didn't say it. God did. Romans 7. Go over to Romans 7. This will tell us better than I can. Romans 7. All right? There are two men in every single born-again child of God. Two men. There's an old man. He's a rebel. He's sinful. He's hateful. He hates the law. He doesn't want to be under any dominion, any rules, any regulation, any law. He hates it. He's a wild ass's colt. All he wants to do is run to mischief, to sin. That's all that old man. He's still in you. He's still in us. Warring against another man. It's a new man. There's a born again man. A new creature created in the image of Jesus Christ. You understand me? That's the one who's sitting here listening to me and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. The old man wouldn't be. The old man doesn't want to be here. You don't want him here either. He ruins everything, doesn't he? Yeah, and our Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Our problem is our sinfulness. And we all think, I can't, I don't, I've come far short. But now listen now, there's a new man that doesn't come up short anywhere. There's a new man who's obedient, an obedient child, created in the image of Christ. He's holy. As Christ is, so is he. See, I don't understand. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. There's a new man who keeps God's law, who's holy, who's righteous, who's just like Jesus Christ. Let me read that to you. In Romans 7, verse 12. The law is holy. The commandment's holy and just and good, isn't it? It sure is. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbids. Not the problem's not the law. But sin. That it might appear sin. The law, God sends the law. We see how we've broken it in every jot and tittle. as with a time when you were in religion or dead in sin, and in religion, dead in sin and religion, that you thought you actually kept the Ten Commandments. Right? Paul did. Paul did. He said, concerning the righteousness of the law, he said, I'm blameless. Whew. And then Christ came and Paul said, I died. I realized, and my just heart sunk, my head sunk, my whole being, I died, realized I haven't kept one. Verse 13. But sin, that it might appear a sin working death in me by that which is good, the law, that sin might, by the law, might become exceeding sinful. See, it's against God. It's against holiness. It's against righteousness. It's against goodness. We know the law is spiritual. I'm carnal. He's talking about that old man. I'm in flesh. My flesh can't do anything but sin, he said. That which I do, verse 15, is this you? Can you enter into these verses? That which I do, what I do, I don't, that's not what I want to do. What I think, what I say, what I would, what I want to do, I don't do it. What I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that's good. Meaning there's a law written in your heart. That God put this law in your heart convicting you. Verse 17. Now it's no more I that do it. This sin, this old man, this indwelling sin, that's never in this life going to go away. Don't you wish it would? But no, if it did, you couldn't live here. You'd be ready for heaven if you didn't have the sin, but you couldn't stand and live with the rest of us sinners. You understand? Our Lord, this is why our Lord came down holy, righteous, just in every way, and everything around Him. He heard thoughts. He was vexed. Man of sorrows, acquainted with what made him so sorrowful? Sin. Vexed. His righteous soul vexed. All he heard and saw. Why did he do it? Why did he come here? For us. Well, look, read on. He says now, verse 17, it's no more I that do it, but sin. Now I know, Paul said, that in me, that is, now listen, in my flesh. My old man, me, the one that was born the first time, this firstborn, like Esau, right? Like Cain. That's what he is. That's what he's like. And he can't live. God hates him, and so do I. Right? Dwelleth in no good thing, and the will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find not. The good I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But I find a law, verse 21, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's this old man. I delight in the law of God, though. After the inward man. You see, I see another law in my members. A new man. Do you? I've said this so many times. You know, it was a time where you did not have any struggle with sin. The world wasn't a problem. This inward, indwelling sin wasn't sin at all. That's your joy. You love yourself. You just love yourself. And so, then when God puts this new creature in, then the battle begins. And that new man hates him, yourself. Hates the old man. There's no love between these two. Love and hate. Hate. It wasn't there for a while. Why? When did it begin? When God put His love, this loving principle for Him, for the truth, reigning, ruling principle that God puts in His children, the love of God shed abroad in the heart of every believer loves God. I do. You do, don't you? You love the God of the Bible. I'm talking about the God of the Bible, don't you? You know how few people love the God of the Bible? You just tell people who God is, that God is God, not trying to be God. He is God, doing as He will with whom He will. And you watch the faith of the internet. Like a woman told my wife, I hate your God. Well, you hate the God then. That's the only God there is. Well, you love Him, don't you? Why? Why? And you may have been in religion before. You hated this God. I'm going to get my heart racing. But God said, that boy is going to love me. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I love him. Why? Because I did. Sovereign love. Sovereign mercy. Now, amen. I'm glad you're having fun. But God puts this new creature in there. He's created in the image of Christ. He's like Christ. He's a Christ-like man. He's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. He's got new love, new joy, new people, new family, new heart, new mind. Yes, He does. The old man's still there. But look at our text, John 15. He says this, now look at this, verse 11. He said, now these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Like I said, I don't want anybody hanging their head. I want you lifting up your head. Lift up the head. Our Lord said, these things have I spoken unto you. Not that it might convict you and bring you down. Yes, chasten. We need chastening. We need exhorting. We need reprove, rebuke, correct, and instruct. All the time. With whom the Lord loves. He chastens. If it chastens you and convicts you, He'll give you joy. Who the Lord loves. He doesn't do that to the world. The world's not convicted of sin. Go back to chapter 11. Look, this is where he began saying these things. See, these things. I'm sorry, chapter 13. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you and be full. These things. Look at verse 10, John 13, verse 10. He said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. He's clean everywhere, and you're clean. Not all of you, but you're clean. He said to his people, how? How are they clean? Over in chapter 15, it says, you're clean through the word I spoke unto you. You're clean. He's clean because he said so. He's the high priest, John. And you come to him as a leper from head to toe, can't find anything. He says, clean. You come to me. Why did you come to him? For washing. You don't wash yourself. You don't wash yourself. You come to him who, when you take a bath, do you wash yourself? You say, yeah. No, you don't. It's soap and water that cleans you. If it wasn't soap and water, you'd scrub all you would. Right? It's the soap. It's the water. Christ is like fuller soap. Water of His Word. Christ, the water of life. Verse 10, He said, you're clean every whit. That's what Peter, remember, said, wash me all over. He says, I have. Can't see it. Can't tell you will. Verse 33, chapter 13, verse 33, says, little children. Now, these were grown men. All of them. I think most of them were older than him. I believe every one of them was older than him. He's the youngest. You know why I think that? Because the elder will serve the younger. But every one of them he called little children. Grown men. But every single one of them felt like a little child. a baby. And Jesus Christ was their all. He's their father. He's their mother. He's their captain. He's their everything. These grown men felt like little children. And they were so glad. That's why Thomas said, show us the Father. Philip, show us the Father. Philip, I am the Father. Have I been so long time with you? Don't you know? I've fathered you. I've mothered you. I've cared for you. Verse 34. And he said this, a new commandment I give unto you. You love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. He's telling us that, doesn't he? Look at chapter 14. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might be remain in you. Chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. So much troubles us, doesn't it? You believe in God. We do, don't we? Don't you, Father? You believe in God. We believe in Christ. He is God. You believe that, don't you? The world doesn't believe that. You know, God runs this world. You believe that, don't you? Then let not your heart be troubled. Read on, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I would have told you. The Lord doesn't give false hope. Do you receive what he said? You want a place with him in glory? You want to be there? He wouldn't tell you that. He wouldn't promise that to anyone that comes to him. He wouldn't tell you that if he didn't mean it. If there wasn't a place for you, he wouldn't tell you. That's what he said. Surely I don't belong. Well, you wouldn't have heard this if you didn't. You wouldn't rejoice in it if you didn't. He said, I go, prepare a place for you. And you know where he went to prepare this place for us, don't you? Huh? You know how few people do heaven. You know how few people know or care what he meant by that? That he went to the cross? That he went to Sinai and he went to the cross? He went to the mercy seat and poured out his blood. You know, people know or care what that means. I do. I go to prepare a place for you. And all those who know and need what he did for them, depending on everything he did for them, he said, if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself. I'm coming for you. I'm going to take you back to glory with you. So, these things have I spoken unto you. Does that fill you full of joy? These things. That's what he said. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. God's not angry with you. God's not angry with his people. You hear me? Does God frown upon his people? Yes. Does God hide his face? Oh, yes. My dad did. Oh, I remember, and I hated it. And I knew why. I knew why. Didn't you? Didn't you hate that? Get on your dad's, say, bad side, but you can't ever really do that. He's not happy with you. But, God's not angry with you. Wrath of God's not going to come down on you. Why? Because it came down on Jesus Christ. He drank that cup of wrath dry. There is no wrath, no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Does that give you joy? Does it make you go want to sin? Oh, no. It makes you sick of sin. How could I? Peace, my peace I give unto you. Verse, I got to go. Oh, my. Chapter 15, verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Now, let's go down through here. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that I've kept the commandments for you, and that your joy might be full. Now, this is my commandment. He sums this up by saying, and he's going to keep saying this. This is my commandment. It's all fulfilled here. It's all contained here. That you love one another as I have loved you. Do you want to keep that? This is my commandment. As I've loved the Father loves me. I love you. And remember, he said his commandments are not grievous. And they all are vital and they flow from a principle of love. Now, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians. You love Ephesians, don't you? Do I love Ephesians? Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2. You like Ephesians 4, 5, 6? Do you? Ephesians 1, verse 4. Look at this. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy, without blame before him. Why did he do it? In love. He did it in love. He did it in love to us. That's why he did it. And he did it that we might love him. People that love him. And the people that love one another. He chose us. He did it in love to us. And he born again in him that we might love him and love one another. And people in love with God and with one another. Chapter 4. Go over there. Chapter 4. And I've entitled this whole message, His Loving Commandments. Our Lord never gives advice, does he? Commandments. Chapter 4. Now here are His loving commandments. He gives us many things to do. All right, he says some, verse 19, have past feeling, given themselves over unto the sinners. That's loose living. To work all uncleanness with greediness. You haven't learned Christ like that. Oh no. If so be you've heard him and taught by him the truth as it is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful love. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Here's something to do. Quit lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. Be ye angry, sin not. Don't you want to be done with wrath and malice and anger? Well, then stop. Verse 27. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hand, that which is good. May have, why? The gift to those that need. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good, the use of edifying, it may minister grace unto the hearer. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Whereby you're sealed under the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's not advice. Command. Be ye kind. One to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Oh, I want to do that. I hope Wednesday night's message is going to be on the friends of Jesus Christ. He said, I call you friends. Our Lord was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to be a friend like that. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. How? As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Did you read the book? Two things about love. Two principal things. One, it gives. Gives. How did our Lord love us? He gave himself for us. Greater love than no man did. He laid down his life. He gave his all. Love seeks to bestow the best it has on the object of his protection. Christ gave himself for us. Love has gives. Love for gives. That sums up Jesus Christ. That sums up his love for us. I want to love like that. be followers of God, verse 1 of chapter 5, as dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. In chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. See that? Chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Are those commandments? Are they grievous? The thing that grieves us is that we don't keep it like we want to. I do love my wife by the grace of God. I do. Not like I want to. Not like I ought to. But I do love her. I love you. You love me? I think you do. I know you do. It shows. It's proven. You prove the sincerity of that. Where did that come from? We're all so different. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different parents. And we're just all so different. Oh, Brother Henry Solway. Are you listening, Roberta? Man, I loved that old man, didn't you? I mean, didn't you love Brother Henry Stephen? Oh, my. He and I are about as different as daylight and dark. He's from Corn Valley, a one-room schoolhouse, and I'm from the big city. Ashland. Somebody. Man, I fell in love with him and him with me, and we were bosom buddies the day he died. That's of the Lord. There's nobody I'd rather be with. In fact, my first 5 or 6 years I spent down at Henry's gas station around his potbelly stove. I didn't want to be anywhere but with him. We talked about the gospel. He was my buddy, my friend from then on. That's of the Lord. There was a time that he's square. He's not cool. I'm cool. Now I'm ashamed of that myself. Still am. So he says, servants, be obedient to your masters. These are commands. They're loving commands. Are they good for us? Are they a good testimony to our God? Are they proof of our love to him? A proof of our love to Christ? Proof of our love to his commandments? Are his commandments grievous? Can you find one thing you don't like that you think, this is hard bondage, loving my wife? Don't answer. If you're still together, that must be like that. If you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments aren't grievous. And we do. We do. As a new man does. He loves it. And that new man mourns that he doesn't do it perfectly. And you know this fruit, what's the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? Love. All of those fruits that make up fruit, there's not one missing in a new, true child of God. They all make fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's his work. First one is love. The greatest of these is love. The greatest proof. It's love. And they all grow. All those fruits grow. Can you grow in love? All through the scripture. This is what our Lord said. Love one another like I loved you. Peter said, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do it actively. Show your love in that. He said, provoke one another to love. I love that. Paul said, provoke one another. Make them love you. We provoke people in every single way, don't we? To hate us was time to provoke them to love you. I tried that one time. A fellow didn't like me. It's obvious. And I thought, I'm going to make him love me. Well, it didn't work. But that's what he tells us. All right. Lord bless you.